Hare Krishna, everyone. Once again, I wish everyone happy Srila Prabhupada's appearance day. We have Her Grace Sadhvi Mataji to enlighten, glorify Srila Prabhupada, our Divine Father Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you so much for joining and giving your association. We are really very grateful to hear from you Srila Prabhupada's glories. I now hand over the call to you, Mataji, to hear Srila Prabhupada's glories. Hare Krishna.
Okay. Hare Krishna, please accept my obeisances. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. Such, thank you for having me. I was meditating this morning about what I would say is that Srila Prabhupada changed our lives in such a wonderful way. You can hear Srila Prabhupada singing in the background. Is it interfering or no?
Yes.
It's okay? All right.
Because it's okay. See, we want to hear that.
Because that devotee that I take care of, we have that recording all night long and many times during the day also, because that helps, you know. And of course, Srila Prabhupada is always helping. So what I want to speak about is how Srila Prabhupada changed our lives and keep changing our lives. I'll just give you the example of this devotee that I take care of. She, I gave her some books about maybe 40 years ago or something like that. And then she joined in St. Louis, and she was cooking for the devotees, making garlands and like that. Then she went back to school, tried to get her PhD, but she didn't finish her PhD, but she was a professional devotee, you know, she was engaged in a professional way. So she didn't have the time or the desire very much to read Srila Prabhupada's books. So even though she had gotten two initiations and all that, and she never had read Bhagavad Gita, never read Srimad Bhagavatam and like that. So Krishna and Srila Prabhupada made the arrangement. That was not my plan. They made the arrangement to give her another chance. She almost passed away, and she was in a nursing home and was going, you know, past, you know, very much down. And then my husband pulled her out of the nursing home, and one day he told me, if you don't take care of her, she'll die. So Krishna gave her another chance. Srila Prabhupada arranged that in this life now, she was about 70. I've been taking care of her for 11 years. So she was about 70. And she loves Abhay Charan, the Abhay Charan series done by Bhakti Chiru Maharaj. She listens to that every day for hours, for years. And the effect of that is that we have other people coming that are non-devotees to help her take a bath, take her walking, do her dishes and all that. And they know the story of Srila Prabhupada. And they are becoming attracted to Krishna, attracted to Srila Prabhupada. And that's very wonderful. And now she's read the Bhagavad Gita so many times and read the whole Srimad Bhagavatam because Srila Prabhupada is giving her another chance, you know, changing our lives, in not giving up on us, you know, that things happen in life that we might not be able to make progress at certain times. We're so busy in our lives. But Krishna is arranging out of his great compassion, and Srila Prabhupada is arranging. He sent like like in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the story of Gajendra, Krishna in the heart says, you know, when is this fool going to turn to me? And then he sends his pure devotee. And that's Srila Prabhupada. And he changed. If you, I don't know how long you want me to talk. I can tell you a couple of stories. I don't know how long you want me to talk.
Mataji, maybe 1 hour.
Oh, no.
Okay, 30 minutes, maybe. Whatever time you would like to. Okay. You can say as many times you would like to.
It's been a long time since I gave class because, you know, I used to give class because I used to live in the temple for many years. But now, you know, I've been becoming, but I kept on doing Sankirtan. I'll read you my offering to Srila Prabhupada because I'm going to, let me go get it and that will take some part of the time. Is that okay?
Yes, okay. Yes, Mataji.
Okay. Yeah. As far as association with Srila Prabhupada, the first time I saw Srila Prabhupada was 1975 in Mayapur and then in Vrindavan. And at that time, I was just a little brahmacharini, you know, living in the temple and nobody really. And there were so many sannyasis around Srila Prabhupada. So I couldn't come close, you know, of course. So I just prayed to Srila Prabhupada that I could somehow serve him. And he gave me service, but also his sister was there, Pishima. And every day I would put myself between the deities in Mayapur, Radha Madhava. At that time there was Radha Madhava and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then there was many devotees, then there was Pishima, and then I would put myself behind and I would just pray, please give me the service of Pishima, Srila Prabhupada's sister. And Krishna arranged, Srila Prabhupada arranged that one day I was taking prasadam and I sat right next to the servant of Pishima. And I said, I really want to serve Pishima. She said, oh, I'm a servant. I'll introduce you. So that was really nice. I just came to, she said, instead, we usually used to bathe in the Ganges at 4 o'clock. So instead, she told me, come at 4 o'clock. So I came and I still remember Pishima came out of her room and she was brushing her hair. And that devotee, Pishima didn't speak English and I didn't speak Hindi. But that devotee, she was from South Africa, and she spoke. So she said, this is Sadhvi, and she wants to serve you. And Pishima said, she said, you are my daughter, and I love you very much. And because you have come to me, you will be very blessed. So that was very nice. I still have her watch. And then she gave me some very simple service, you know, like I went to get a prasadam at that time. The living quarters were quite far from the prasadam. So I went to get a prasadam. I went to clean her clothes. I was a walking stick in Mayapur. And when I was doing that, you know, she was teaching, even though she wasn't speaking English. She was speaking heart, you know. She knew the heart because she was pure devotee. So one day I was thinking, here I am. And by that time, I think I was in Vrindavan at that time because Srila Prabhupada, in the beginning, we were in Mayapur. Then there was the big pandal in Hyderabad. And then we all went to Vrindavan. So in Vrindavan, I was thinking, here I am in Vrindavan helping the pure devotee to walk. As soon as I thought like that, she left my arm and took the wall. Because she was teaching, you know, hey, don't you get too proud, you know. And one day also, it was the opening of the Krishna Balaram Mandir. So there was, you know, in India, little boys, they just go through the crowd and push everybody and run, you know. So I was helping, you know, I was holding on to Pishima. And this little boy pushed her. And I got very upset and I pushed the little boy back. And as soon as I did that, I didn't hurt him. I just pushed him back. But as soon as Pishima saw that, you know, whoa, this is an inhabitant of Vrindavan, she immediately left my arm. So, you know, she was teaching like that, you know, very kindly. And she was teaching that how to be a servant. And as far as Srila Prabhupada, well, I did get to chew on his toothbrush. You know, he had this neem toothbrush. And I was cleaning his quarters in India, so I got that. And but mostly the service was through the book distribution. I've been doing Sankirtan for about 50 years, and I'm turned 70 years old. My body turned 70 years old. I'm hoping to do 5 more years of Sankirtan, because even though I take care of her, I still go on Sankirtan once a week, twice a week. But very soon there is a wonderful devotee nursing home that's opening in America. Is the first nursing home in America for devotees. It has only 10 beds. And she'll be going, and I'll be going back out on Sankirtan. So here, I'll read my offering. And my dear most Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances. Srila Prabhupada, when I think of all you have so kindly done for us and for this world, I feel so thankful, happy, and hopeful. Lately, I've been reading the Mukunda Mala Stotra, Prayers by King Kulashekar. It is so inspiring. In the introduction, it says that you translated and commented on the first six prayers, and then the rest of the work was delegated to your dear disciples, Gopi Paranadana Prabhu and Sasvarup Das Goswami. In a prefer to the 46th verse, Sasvarup Maharaj wrote, I have to explain what he wrote like that. He said something very interesting. Like the head is very important in our life. You know, the head is the most important. And if you think about the head, it's got so many senses. It's got the eyes, it's got the nose, it's got the wonderful tongue, it's got the ears. So it's the center of all the senses. So what he says in the purport, he says the head is the center of all the senses. So we try to give it pleasure, like most conditioned souls try to give pleasure to the head, either by the eyes, either by the nose, by the tongue, we're always trying, you know? So he said, the head is the center of all the senses, so we try to give it pleasure in many ways, but usually not by the humble act recommended by King Kulashekar, which means bowing down that head before the Supreme Lord. When I first came to visit the Montreal Temple and saw the devotees bowing down, I found it attractive and convincing. Before that, I had associated with some spiritual group in which the members kept their heads rather high, and I could not relate very well. So what a relief it was that you taught us by precept and example to give pleasure to Krishna in that simple way and feel happy. I also remember that you mercifully sent a very humble devotee to ask me, you know, when I was visiting the temple in Montreal for the first few times, one very nice devotee said, please do us a favor and stay for a week. That's the way they got me. After that, I never left. After that, I realized they were making me a favor. So on the first night, and I put in parentheses, we were six or seven devotees in sleeping bags on the floor in a small room. And I was awakened by a devotee chanting japa softly around 2 a.m. What a delight. How easy and natural it was to remember Krishna. And that is what King Kulashekar prays for in another prayer, wherein he asks Krishna to nourish and maintain his personal relationship with him and protect him from the greatest calamity, forgetfulness of Krishna. That's the greatest calamity. So again and again, I would like to offer millions of thank you for having created facilities all over the world to help us remember, serve, and reawaken our love for Krishna. Your grateful servant, Sadidasi. You see, I'm a very simple devotee, so it's hard for me to speak for a long time. But Palini Mataji was supposed to come and speak too.
Yes, Mataji, we are waiting for her. I don't see her on the call yet. I don't see her in the call, Mataji, but I just wanted to speak something that you have just spoke. I just want to say my realization. Very beautiful, sweet offerings that you have given, and especially telling about the head of the body, which is very important, and more sense gratification is taken from here. So we need to bow down so that our sense gratification will go away and we can surrender our senses to Krishna. That was very nice, that the one that you mentioned in your offerings is so beautiful. How you were humbly sharing that, how you were got opportunity to serve Pishima, and also how she was correcting you every time when you had some pride in your heart, that you were humbly sharing it. I know you don't have, but you are humbly sharing, but it's give us a lesson to us also that we should not have any pride and we should be humbly serving whatever the chances that we are getting to serve Krishna and Guru. Thank you, Mataji, for your sweet association. Mataji, do you have any picture with Srila Prabhupada that you wanted to share with us? If you have,
we can see. I'm a little potato. You know, but I'm so happy that I have that. It's so, very few devotees had a personal association with Srila Prabhupada. And I'm so grateful that Srila Prabhupada accepted in my little tiny service, because, you know, I spoke to Bekusha Maharaj is in charge here. And I was telling him one day that actually, if I had a more close association, I probably would have made offenses, because I would never have known how to. I didn't really understand anything. I joined the temple, frankly speaking, I did not know Krishna was God. And frankly speaking, I did not know. I spoke French. Most of the devotees spoke English. And there was no Bhagavad Gita in English at that time. I had read a little bit of the Shiva Upanishad. I had looked at the picture of the Bhagavad Gita. I knew in my heart, as soon as I got the Bhagavad Gita, the soul recognized. And also, I had bought two posters of Krishna. And when I was putting them in my room at that time, I was not at the temple. When I was putting them in my room, I was crying and I was thinking, he exists. And I didn't know, not like God exists, you know, because I had gone to college, and in philosophy courses, they try to convince you that God doesn't exist. So they've done a number on me. And when I got those posters, it's like the soul got reawakened. You know, these beautiful paintings that the artist that Srila Prabhupada, ordered to reveal Krishna, those old paintings are wonderful. And so that's, you know, gradually I came to understand, you know. But Srila Prabhupada was so kind, patient, tolerant of our mistakes, of our lack of understanding. And you know, that's why he repeats himself a lot in the books. Basic things. Because it takes us a while to understand. He knew we had a ticks call. But it works. You know, the process does work. The japa does work. The association of devotees is everything we have. And now he's giving us, he has empowered some devotees to do a nursing home. Of course, there is some in India, but it's not easy for many devotees to for Indian devotees, that might be something. But for American devotees, it's not so easy to transfer to India in old age. I don't think she would be able to make the trip. So Krishna is arranging. Prabhupada is empowering, still guiding this movement, giving mercy at every step. And every day I go to the temple and I pray to Srila Prabhupada, please somehow or other, let me assist you in your mission. And it's really funny because he really reciprocates with that prayer, because many times I turn around and there is a new guest or there is some service to do or there is. And he reciprocates. You know, we turn to him, we ask, you know, please let me assist. I might be like the little squirrel, you know, there's Hanuman and there's a little squirrel and there's a little spider. Well, I'm more like the little spider. But Krishna, he sees like different, you know, he sees, well, they are trying their best. It's all we can do. That's all we can do. Hare Krishna.
So sweet, Mataji. Thank you so much. Even this age, you want to go out for Sankirtan and distribute the books. And you are saying you're squirrel. So what to speak about us, Mataji? You have given so much of service to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Mataji. So you are a great example for all of us to be taken, and how we have to practice our Krishna consciousness to be indebted to Srila Prabhupada in this mission. Thank you. Thank you so much, Mataji, for your sweet glorification of Srila Prabhupada. I have a raised hand, Mataji. Some devotees wanted to speak to you. Is that okay?
Sure.
Yeah. Tifli Mataji, please go ahead, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Sadhvi Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. I just want to say thank you so very much for everything that you shared with us today. I'm sorry, I'm feeling emotional because everything you said was so inspiring, and your humility is such a beautiful example of how we should be as devotees. It's not about, you know, being a big devotee. It's not about showing off what we can do. It's clearly about serving in every way that we can. And you have dedicated your entire life to serving Srila Prabhupada and his movement. And just seeing your joy, you're so joyful. And it just is so inspiring to me. You know, it does. We don't have to go out and do big things. All we have to do is simple service. And not that you've done simple service. I mean, Sankirtan is a huge service and it's so beautiful. And now the story that you shared about the devotee that you're taking care of, that's also just so wonderful to know. It's just a reminder to all of us that Krishna is always here for us. Even if we were to stray away or something like that, he provides for us. He makes sure that we get what we need to bring us closer to him, no matter what stage of life we're in.
Yeah.
Thank you so very much. I'm so grateful for your association this morning. And I also wanted to ask, where is the nursing home opening? Where will that be?
Oh, it's in Tucson, Arizona.
They
just built it. It's not even open yet. It's new and it has only 10 beds, which is manageable, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they are so sincere, and the temple president there is very, very supportive of the project, and this is the first one, and it will be very, very helpful. They are talking, well, maybe if that it fills up so quickly, maybe we'll try to open another one, but you know, we have to first start a small project. I would like to share with you something else. I have you know, I made balloon animals because I'm a little bit of a clown. And I made Lord Balaram in a balloon. You want to see him? You want to see him?
Yes,
I'll have to go get him.
I think Falini Mataji joined. Is that?
Yeah, I think it's Falini Mataji only. Yeah. We will be waiting for Mataji to come and show us Balaram.
This is made out of a balloon animal.
Wow, that is so cute.
Oh, Balaram.
balloon Balaram. Wow.
So cute.
Because I used to
travel. You have to make so many Mataji so all our kids can play.
I used to travel all over the world, actually, and do balloons, like storytelling in balloons. I would make Krishna, and like this one, I did Balaram and Dinukasura. I would make donkeys, and I would tell the story of Krishna. I would make Krishna with a peacock feather and everything, and a dhoti, and I would put Krishna, Balaram, and the donkey, and tell the children, and sometimes the grown-ups, the story. And they like it a lot, you know. We did it in Fiji, we did it in India, we did it all over America, really. And now I'm going back to that because I have the opportunity. So I'm quite happy about
Mataji, that. Mataji, you took us to Vrindavan. Actually, though you are outside, but you are in Vrindavan mood and your heart is completely clean. You don't have that calm, krodh, molo, madama, sare, because you made Balaram. And Balaram only removed all the 6 children, they died, and Balaram came and invited Krishna. So you are in that mood. You already got Balaram. So all the 6 things gone and 6 opulence of Krishna has come. And you are going back to Goloka because you're Prabhupada disciple and you're so wonderful. You said small potato and all. You're very humble and very open at heart. So please give some blessings. All of us follow you and become Prabhupada's very clear, dear devotees. Thank you. Thank you, Vinita Mataji, for introducing to Sadhvi Mataji. Thank you, Sham Gauri Mataji. And thank you, Malini Mataji. I'm all your servant, all of you. Happy Janmashtami to everybody.
Hare Krishna. Well,
thank you for having me. Thank you for having me because this morning I woke up and I said, oh, you know, I have to chant good rounds this morning. I've got to.
Hare Krishna, dear Sadhvi Mataji. Please accept my whole businesses. All goes to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. I am from Charlotte, Mataji. I hope you remember me.
I see you? Where are you? Which one? I can't
see. Maybe red.
Red.
Oh, Shyama Gauri.
Yes,
yeah, I do remember. I didn't put the name and the face, but yeah, I do remember.
Yes, yes. So, no, that time I was not initiated, so my name was different. So maybe that's why you don't remember.
Yeah, I used to go to Charlotte a lot. You remember?
Yes, yes. And he used to do the puppet show in the different places.
Yes.
It was really amazing, very wonderful service, Mataji. And now you are taking care of a devotee. That's why you cannot go anywhere. But otherwise, you used to travel a lot, you know, with all your puppets and your balloons, and all the children will be around you. So nice.
I'm going back to that, actually. In a month or two, she will be in Arizona, and I'll go back to that. Because one of my very dear... When I was traveling a lot, one time when I was in Atlanta, I met this devotee. She just come to India, from India. And she really didn't know anything about Krishna. She was a young girl. She just got married. And we became mother-daughter right away. So I stayed 1 month at their place 3 times in Alabama. She came to the temple and lived 2 weeks in the temple in Atlanta. And then I went to see them in Cincinnati 2 times, in New York 2 times. Now they just moved to High Point. And I'm going to, half of my life will be with them, really. And then I will keep on, you know, redoing that service if I can. Please, Krishna, please, Prabhupada, give me 5 more years. That's all. That's all. Thank you very much for having this. Thank you for having this group. It's so nice.
Thank you.
How many devotees do you have on this group?
Right to the
thousands and millions of devotees all over the world.
Yeah, but on this group.
This group is ever expanding, Mataji. Every day, 100 people come minimum, 100. Morning, afternoon, evening, 3 times. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Yeah.
Oh, I bet you'll ask Lalita about the details of that.
Yes. You be with us, Mataji. Every day, be with us. Tell some small stories. Yeah.
Thanks to Lalita Mataji for reminding about Sarvi Mataji and Phalini Mataji. Even though I know them, but I kind of forgot who could speak about Srila Prabhupada, dear, very dear disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much.
Can I say something?
Yes.
Please go ahead.
Yes, Mother, go ahead.
When I joined the temple in 1974 in Montreal, Sadhvi was already initiated Brahmin, and she helped me so much in my devotional life. And we slept on the floor next to the temple. We washed our feet before we went in. Everyone bowed down when the RT conch all blew. It was the most transcendent. It was a bowling alley transformed into a temple. And she once said to me an instruction that I never forgot, that the material body is an embarrassment to the spirit soul. And that helped me so much in my spiritual life. The association of the Vaishnavs and the Vaishnavis has been the greatest benediction for me. And I'm so thankful that Sadhvi, that you came today. And it's so wonderful to hear from you. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. So now we have Her Grace Phalini Mataji to speak about Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, Phalini Mataji. Welcome to the Bhakti Sangha conference call.
He's muted. Mataji is muted.
Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Mataji, you're still muted, Mataji. Phalini Mataji. Now we think you're good.
Better?
Yes, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. So, please accept my humble pranams, everyone. Please excuse me ahead of time. I have a condition that affects my vocal cords, so I can't speak so well anymore. So I will just try my best, okay? Sadhvi, it's so nice to see you, Mataji. Good to see you after a long time. I would not be able to tell it's you, though. I can see I can see you are Sadhvi, but I used to be able to pick you out from a crowd. Now it's a little different with your little cap on. I don't fully recognize you. So I'm happy to know that you're still with us and that you're going strong in Srila Prabhupada's service. Thank you so much. So I was with those fortunate, I guess you could say, fortunate devotees who didn't join until later. I joined ISKCON in November of 1973. So by that time, it was not customary for ladies to go for personal darshan. So I never got to go in Srila Prabhupada's garden when he was there. I joined in Los Angeles and never got to go for personal darshan or in a group darshan in his quarters. But I got to see Srila Prabhupada many times in the temple room. And I want to say, if I could go by a timeline, I would say the first time I saw Srila Prabhupada was when he walked into the old temple room in Los Angeles, which is now the museum. And I was at first surprised because I was expecting him to be a very big, tall man, because I had just read the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And it was such a fantastic book that I expected the author to be just so huge. For some reason, I just had this expectation, childish expectation. But when I saw Srila Prabhupada was actually shorter than me physically, I was a little taken aback. But then I saw how he carried himself. He was majestic. He was magnificent. He was royalty. He was greater than royalty. I could see that he had a brightness, a effulgence about him. And I was immediately attracted and was magnetically drawn to him. And I noticed after I got up from paying obeisances that he was looking around the temple room at everyone, and he looked in everyone's eyes, and he also looked at individual devotees. There was one Mataji there who was kneeling down and looking up at Srila Prabhupada, and I knew her name was Jati Devi. So Srila Prabhupada looked at her and he said, "Is everything all right?" And she had been going through a lot of difficulty in her marriage. And when Srila Prabhupada said that to her in such a compassionate way, she immediately felt relief. And she said, "Yes, everything's okay." So Srila Prabhupada had that effect on us, that when he was present, we felt so delighted, so ecstatic, so happy. We could not keep our bodies on the floor. We would start jumping and dancing so high and just screaming, "Hari Bol, Jai Srila Prabhupada," chanting the holy name. We were in ecstasy. So Srila Prabhupada was a very powerful, very influential personality. And I remember when Srila Prabhupada came in that first time, he walked a little step further and he patted one little girl on the head. Her name was Ananga. And she is mentioned in the book by Mahamaya, which I just read for the first time, and I highly recommend it. It was the book called Srila Prabhupada is Coming. It is such a good book because it gives so many pastimes of Srila Prabhupada and so many interactions with Mahamaya. She was very fortunate to have so many personal dealings with Srila Prabhupada. So I was very happy to read that book, and I recommend it to all of you who haven't read it yet. So as Srila Prabhupada walked into that small temple room, which was crowded wall to wall with devotees, he walked up to Gornitai's altar. In those days, Gornitai were made of plaster of Paris, I think it was called. And they were breakable, so we had to be very careful with them. And they stood like this, you know, and they were very golden colored. So Srila Prabhupada walked up to them and he stood in front of them. Then he took his danda and he touched the floor in front of the altar, and he bowed down and offered full dandavats. And of course, in those days, as my friend Lalita remembers, we all would offer full dandavats if there was room. If there was no room, we would scratch down on our knees and elbows and offer no obeisances like that. So Srila Prabhupada would touch the floor, then he would offer dandavats. Then he would stand up. And one thing I noticed was that Srila Prabhupada had his bead bag around his neck, and he did not try to keep his bead bag up off the floor. He would lie on top of his bead bag. So this is something that I took notice of. Then Srila Prabhupada would walk over to Sri Sri Rukmini Dwarkadish, and he would pray to them for a few moments and then do the same thing, touch his danda on the floor and then offer pranams. Then he would walk over to Jagannath, Baladeva, and Subhadra and do the same thing. Then he would walk slowly around and climb up on his Vyasasan. And one interesting thing that I would like to share with all of you is that even though we have a lot of personal association with Srila Prabhupada in close quarters, I have had many dreams of Srila Prabhupada. And those dreams, I've had exquisite personal association, unforgettable, and very moving to the heart. There was another devotee here in Prabhupada Village, North Carolina, who had a dream of Srila Prabhupada. And in that dream, Srila Prabhupada pointed to his Vyasasan here in Prabhupada Village, which had no steps, or the steps were actually too narrow. They were just small. And he said to that devotee, "I cannot climb up onto my Vyasasan. There are no steps." So after that, one devotee built some steps for Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada climbed up the steps in Los Angeles. He sat down and he would pick up either his kartals or his gong and a little stick. He used a wooden stick to hit his song. and he would start singing Jai Radha Madhava. And one devotee would start playing harmonium and play along with Srila Prabhupada's singing. And then Srila Prabhupada, after finishing that, he would say the Premajwani prayers. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivajikacharya Shri Shiman Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. And at the end of the Premajwani prayers, Srila Prabhupada would always say, thank you very much. And I liked it when he would say, thank you very much. It seemed to me that he was saying thank you to us for being devotees, for trying to be devotees, for taking shelter of him and taking initiation and doing service. So Srila Prabhupada was grateful. We were just reading last night about how Krishna is grateful. And the pure devotee is also grateful. In fact, in the Ramayana, there is a passage where Lakshman says that there is no forgiveness, or no, I forget exactly how it was worded, but he said something to the effect, ingratitude is the worst sin. So we must always be grateful. So Srila Prabhupada would then give Bhagavatam class, and I used to grab my favorite seat, which was right at the foot of Srila Prabhupada's Vyasasan. His Vyasasan faced the deities, and the ladies would sit on the side of, it was on the western side, and the men would sit on the eastern side. And I liked to sit right at the corner of the foot of Srila Prabhupada's Vyasasan and look up at him. And I don't know how it was possible with his Indian, British, Scottish accent, but I was able to understand most of what he said. And I really, really relished his classes. And another thing that I really enjoyed was when Srila Prabhupada would come down from his quarters, which were on the second floor. In India, they would say it was the first floor, but here they say second floor. He would come down the stairs and he would stop on the landing at the bottom of the stairs, and then there were just like two or three more steps before he would go out the door and get in the car. Then outside that door were about six more steps, and he would climb down and then walk across the sidewalk and get into the car. So some devotees would be waiting out there. Not all the devotees, but some devotees were especially attracted to this idea of greeting Srila Prabhupada when he came down. This happened before the greeting of the deities, before the Bhagavatam class, early in the morning, like when the sun first came up, Srila Prabhupada would go out for a morning walk, sometimes to Venice Beach, sometimes to Cheviot Hills Park. There were different places that he liked to walk. So when Prabhupada would come out of that door and down those steps, we'd all offer our obeisances. And I found out later, much later, that my husband was one of those devotees who used to come. And I used to go there too. But we didn't know each other at that time. it was very, very sweet experience to see Srila Prabhupada so close. And then when he would climb in the car, he would look at all of us and offer pranams to all of us. And of course, we would return the pranams. So those were very sweet times. And I remember when Prabhupada first came to New Dwarka on November 29th, 1973, that was only 11 days after I came to join the temple. So it was right after I came, Srila Prabhupada came. So I was very, very fortunate. And I remember we were gathered outside in front of the temple. For some reason, we were gathered outside in front. And one devotee came up to me. He was holding a dish, and inside the dish were a lot of little beads. They looked to me like wooden beads, and I wasn't yet familiar with Tulsi. So, and also I saw some little red beads, and I wasn't familiar with those, but they were rubies. So he said, Mataji, could you string Srila Prabhupada's beads? And I didn't even know what neck beads were. I had no idea how to do such a thing. But I found out much later, many years later, that he approached my future husband, who at that time was called Haas. And he asked Haas, would you be willing to restring Srila Prabhupada's neck beads? They just broke. And you have to incorporate the rubies in at regular intervals. And it turns out that my husband took on that service. I am so amazed. And yet I'm not amazed because he was a jeweler. He was a jewelry maker by trade. So he was very familiar with such things. And he felt confident enough to do that service. So he was very lucky to get to restring Srila Prabhupada's neck beads when he was first, had first come in contact with Krishna consciousness. So let's see. I was thinking of doing a combination. Of my memories of Srila Prabhupada and my husband's memories of Srila Prabhupada. There was one particular experience that my husband had in Mayapur. He went to Mayapur in 1977 in February. And Srila Prabhupada was there at that time, but he was not feeling well. Nonetheless, he would come down every morning from his quarters and he would circumambulate Shishi Radha Madhava. And when he got to the side of their altar, he would reach up and ring the bell. And the devotees loved it when Srila Prabhupada would ring the bell. I never got to be there when Srila Prabhupada was alive, but I got to come the year after that. In 1978, in February. But when my husband was there, he was very fortunate because after Srila Prabhupada rang the bell, he came around in front of Radha Madhava. And my husband and a few other devotees were in front of Srila Prabhupada. They were walking backwards in front of Prabhupada. And watching him, because whenever Prabhupada was present, we would all have our eyes glued on him. He was so irresistibly beautiful that we couldn't resist staring at him. So we had our eyes trained on him at every moment. So Srila Prabhupada stopped in front of Radha Madhava, and he started jumping and dancing And when he started jumping and dancing like that, his body started to emit a golden glow, like a sun, like the sun. And my husband saw it, and Vatsal Prabhu was there, he saw it. And our god sister Sacharya was there, she saw that. The only three people I've heard say that they saw that amazing effulgence that Srila Prabhupada emitted that morning. He was glowing like the sun and dancing, and all the devotees were so ecstatic. And Hansa Duda was leading the kirtan, and the devotees just went wild when Srila Prabhupada glowed like that. So that was a very, very special, intimate experience that my husband was blessed to have. Let's see, I always wanted to sing for Srila Prabhupada, but I never got to. But when I went to Mayapur in 1978, Pishima was there. And you all probably know that Srila Prabhupada's sister, Bhavatarini, was affectionately called Pishima by all of us, which means auntie or auntie, some people would pronounce it. So she was staying on the first floor, which means in America, the second floor of the Lotus building. And I was there with a group of girls, group distributors, and we got blessed with the opportunity to go to India. And it was right after Srila Prabhupada had left the planet. So I hadn't cried. I hadn't grieved for Srila Prabhupada. I felt that he was still with us. But I didn't realize that I was actually missing him. And when I saw Pishima, she looked exactly like Srila Prabhupada. And I was shocked when I first saw her. I had never seen a photo of her. I had only heard about her. And when I saw her, I broke down crying, and I just burst into tears, and just sobbing. And so then I realized that I really missed Srila Prabhupada. So I want to backtrack a little bit. And when we got the word that Srila Prabhupada was very, very sick, and that he had given us a prayer that we could pray, he also gave us permission to perform 24-hour kirtan, sankirtan. So we did that in our little temple in Salt Lake City. We had all night kirtan. And we were praying, "My dear Lord Nrsingadev, if you so desire, please cure Srila Prabhupada." So we would pray like that constantly. We were chanting Hare Krishna constantly and just always keeping Srila Prabhupada in our hearts and hoping that he would get better. But at a certain point, we came home to Los Angeles from Salt Lake. Salt Lake City is almost halfway across the country from LA. So we were gathered in the temple room on the morning of November 14th, 1977. And Rameshwar Maharaj got up in front of the temple room, and he said, "I have an announcement." Srila Prabhupada has left. And I didn't cry at that time. I'm starting to cry now. But at that point, when I heard that Srila Prabhupada had left his body, I immediately stood up and I went downstairs from the balcony and I ran back to my ashram and I put on my clothes that I would wear to the airport and I filled up my book bag and I got a box of books and I hailed a cab, so to speak. I got into the van that was driven by Karamakanana Prabhu, not the devotee who became Swami later, but this was a different Karamakanana. And I said, could you please take me to the airport? He said, okay. So he drove me over to LAX. And I went in there and I started reading to the Prabhupada's books. And I was just meditating on how to stay close to Srila Prabhupada. So this was my reaction to the news. And I went out every day, just continued to do what I had already been doing, which was going out every day to distribute Prabhupada's books. Because I felt like that was the best way to stay close to him. But later, do I still have time to keep talking, or do you need me to wind it up?
Mataji, you have little time, but if I may request, Mataji, your voice is little breaking, Mataji. I don't know if you want to be a little closer. Maybe you are too much closer to Mike. Maybe just wanted to. It is static also, Mataji. It was not very, very clear. Sorry, Mataji.
I'm checking my.
You could not understand properly at all. You told so much I wanted to tell, but I thought it would be wrong on my side. You said so good things you told, but we couldn't really relish it, Mataji. If you can
hear. Oh, part of it might be my voice quality.
No, voice was good, Mataji. I think it is like some static is coming, something like
yes.
that.
Yes.
Oh, I don't know. Okay. I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry. Okay. So can you hear me better if I talk louder?
Yeah.
I think this is good, Mataji.
Wonderful.
Okay. So
we can hear your voice of your soul.
Well, I'll just share. I wanted to share one incident with you. All of you are preachers. So when my husband and I used to go, we used to live in India. We were staying in Udupi in Karnataka. But that was just our base. And from our base, we would travel all over India and all over Sri Lanka doing kirtan and pravachan. And there was a group of devotees down in Sri Lanka who used to travel and preach. And we went with them and they did plays, drama. And one time, we were, I forget where we were. Oh, it was a resort in a mountainous region. It was a very beautiful place. And one morning, as we all sat together having our morning program, I shared with the devotees that I had dreamed about Srila Prabhupada that previous night. So they said, oh, please tell us about the dream. So I told them that we were on a train, and it was a kind of a car in the train where we would be sitting and facing the other passengers on the opposite bench. So the devotees were all sitting over here on the same side. I was sitting with the devotees on one side, and across from us was a man who was dressed in a suit. I can't remember any details of how he was dressed, but I was looking at that man, and suddenly he started to change, and he morphed into Prabhupada. He appeared as Srila Prabhupada, and he had a chadar on top of his head. And he didn't say anything, but we were on our way to go preaching to some group or some person who was very difficult to preach to. A person who was known to be belligerent and against Krishna consciousness. But somehow or other, we were going to preach to this person. And so then I woke up from the dream, and I shared with the devotees that I realized the Srila Prabhupada is always with us. Whenever we're going out on any kind of preaching mission, Srila Prabhupada is always with us. So we should always be aware of his presence whenever we are going out to do any kind of preaching. So there was one other thing I wanted to share, and I won't. If you need me to stop, I can stop.
No, please tell me.
Please, Mataji, go ahead, Mataji, please.
Okay, just one more. That I was distributing books with a group of girls in Modesto, California. It's a small town, and it was very hot. This was not in Modesto. This is Fresno, California. If any of you are familiar with California, you know where Fresno is. So Fresno has a yearly fair, and it's like a town fair, country fair. And all kinds of people come to this fair, and they shop for different items, and they have many concession booths. So we would go there and distribute books. We would sneak in. We were very bold, and I don't know how we did the kinds of things that we did, but we did them. So anyway, one day our team leader had to go. She had to leave for some medical reason. So she asked me to be in charge of the girls for a few days while she went to the doctor. So I took charge, and I said, okay, girls, we're going to distribute more books today than we've ever distributed before. So we took our boxes of books and we hid them in different places, and we started distributing books so fast and so enthusiastically that we did more than we had ever done before. Yes. Everyone tried so hard. But the sun was very hot that day, and we all suffered. But I especially got heat stroke, and I couldn't walk. So the girls had to help me. I had my arm over their shoulders, and they helped me to the car. And when we got back to the motel, they put me to bed. So I fell asleep right away. And that night, Srila Prabhupada appeared to me in a dream. He was sitting on a wooden stairway. The stairs were made of wood. It was a tall stairway, and I couldn't see what was at the top. I could only see the stairs and Srila Prabhupada. And he was sitting. He was in his Murti form. He was in his Murti form. So I walked up the stairs and I paid my obeisances right in front of him on the step just below. And while I was paying my obeisances, I heard a sound like, and I looked up and Srila Prabhupada had fallen over. And I said, oh no, Srila Prabhupada has left his body. And so I started weeping into his lap and his dhoti got wet, his lungi, it got all wet with my tears. And I could feel something. I could feel a hand on my head and down my back over and over as I was crying into his lap. And then I looked up and Srila Prabhupada was sitting up. So I said, Srila Prabhupada, are you all right? And he looked at me and smiled and he said, are you all right? And I said, Srila Prabhupada, without you, I'm nothing. And he said to me, I always knew you would turn out to be a good devotee. And then I woke up. So to me, that is the greatest treasure that Srila Prabhupada ever gave me. He gave me not only the holy name and his transcendental books, which are treasure chests. Every single one of his books are the greatest treasures. It's like in the spiritual world, everything is the greatest. So Srila Prabhupada's books, every one of them the greatest. Anyway, so thank you so much for listening. I don't know if I did this properly, but I really appreciate the opportunity to share with you some little pastimes.
Wonderful. Hare Krishna. Wonderful, wonderful, Palani Mataji. Very, very nice, heart-touching moments, or even the dreams as if they were actually real, the way that you were able to feel them, the transcendental stories, right? Basically, that is like when you have those things, it is coming out from the heart, like how you are feeling Srila Prabhupada there and weeping in his lap. Very, very wonderful and really heart-touching stories, Mataji. So fortunate, Mataji. So here, so fortunate of you to have this association. And also, we are very fortunate to be able to hear from you such that, which will inspire and then be able to be more conscious of what we are doing and how fortunate we are to have this holy name and which Srila Prabhupada has given us to come back to him, come back to Godhead. Thank you so much, Mataji. Do you have a time for any questions, Mataji, or somebody, realizations or something?
Sure.
Yeah.
And Padma?
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Oh, I just wanted to say, I always forget when I tell that story that the punchline is that, so that dream proved to me that I was grieving. I was mourning for the loss of my spiritual master's Vapu. So that convinced me that I wasn't totally hard-hearted. I had some softness to my heart because I actually was missing Srila Prabhupada enough to actually cry. So
Yeah, wonderful, Mataji. I think all, really, Mataji. So I think when we miss, I think that's how they come into dream, because that is what we've been thinking about. So that is how it comes as a dream and then console. Yeah, it happened. Thank you so, so much, Mataji. Wonderful sharings, wonderful memories and things you have. So, so fortunate, Mataji. Hare Krishna, Mataji. Sukakar Krishna Prabhu has some question. I see him hand raised. Prabhu, you can go ahead and unmute yourself and talk, Prabhu. We cannot hear you, Prabhu, if you are talking, because your phone is muted. Let me see if I have to do anything. Can you try, Prabhu, now? Were you able to unmute, Prabhu? I think, yeah.
Yeah, Hare Krishna. Malini Mataji, it's so nice to see you. We only see the Leela Amritsar, Malini Mataji and your husband, we see on the pages. But when we see you, we feel that we are touched, Prabhupada, through you. So wonderful, Mataji. Mataji, can you just tell one tips you are with Prabhupada, how your chanting improved through Prabhupada? Can you just give how we can get absorbed chanting, how we can hear the chanting, how we can attentively chant? He always says, just chant. Somebody asks, my mind is not working. Just chant. He tells like that. So can you just tell something on the chanting, because that will help all of us. If we chant, then we can really go back to God. But something is stopping, the mind is not allowing, not able to attentively hear, aparadhas coming. Just give one nice advice on that, Mataji. Please, we beg you.
Well, one good piece of advice that I've heard Srila Prabhupada say is just try to hear. And I find that to be very helpful, just focusing on the sound of the holy name. When we try to just hear the holy name, that is a demonstration of our faith that actually the holy name is Krishna himself. It is Srimati Radharani. It is Lord Ram. And when we associate with the Lord, in his name, we are personally associating with him. Besides the instruction to just try to hear, it's also, I find it helpful to pray to Srila Prabhupada. Can you hear me?
Yes, yeah, we can hear you. Very well, Mataji. Yeah.
Okay. I find it helpful to pray to Srila Prabhupada, please help me. Please help me to chant and hear the way you want me to chant and hear. Mm. And I also like to pray to Srimati Radharani to please help me focus on the lotus feet of the holy name. There are so many meditations, but ultimately, when we hear the holy name, when the holy name enters our ears and dances in the courtyard of our heart, that is so exquisite. And that is our darshan with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to get that experience of tasting the sweetness. And you know, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, I heard this. I forget who told me, but Gaurakishore Das Babaji used to pray to the holy name, please give me a taste. Please let me taste. So that is also a bona fide prayer. Mm. Does that help, Prabhuji? Is that okay?
Sure, Mataji. Yes, it does.
Mataji, but one thing is, when we are chanting, we have got so many other things coming in the mind, you know, we are not able to attentively chant, so much of disturbance, what is to be done, the next thing, all, so many priorities are coming in. But I find hearing Bhagavatam is more relishing than hearing chanting. Why? When I'm hearing your Bhagavad Katha, Prabhupada Leela Amrita, I really like, I like hearing CD, video of Prabhupada, reading books. But chanting, it's becoming like a big challenge. And it is, I'm not initiated in 1993, almost like 30, 40 years happening. Still the taste is not coming.
Yeah. So when the minds are full like that, it's a test. Maya is testing us. How determined we are going to be. But there's one devotee who lives here in Prabhupada village. His name is Shivananda Das. He was one of the first devotees. And he had lots of personal association with Srila Prabhupada. So I really, really look up to him. And I relish his association and his advice. And one of the things that he advises is just stick to the process. Stick to it. Keep chanting. Keep trying to hear the whole name. And you will get a taste. You will become attached. But think of this, Sukhakar Krishna Das Prabhu. You are trying to achieve the greatest thing that a soul can achieve. So if you are trying to achieve the greatest thing, is it not going to be a struggle?
It is going to be a struggle.
Struggle only, struggle. It's a fight against Maya.
Yes. Prabhupada said, as soon as you come to Krishna consciousness, you are declaring war on Maya. And it is not only right when you join, it goes on every single day for the rest of your life. Okay, so we are warriors. We are fighters, and we have to keep up the fight. Don't drop your bow.
Okay.
Keep your bow in your hand and be ready.
Thank you so much, Malini Mataji. Please bless all of us. You are like our mother. So please bless us that we get taste in chant, and we want to go back home, back to Godhead in this life. Please. Please pray for us, Mataji. No more coming back to the miserable material world.
Okay. I am trying also to leave this material world and return to the spiritual world. But
Mataji, your ticket is guaranteed. You are Prabhupada disciple, so your ticket is guaranteed. Your visa is already done. And you are a pure devotee.
No. I am not a pure devotee, but I'm working on it. So thank you for being sincere, for being serious, and for sticking to the process. We all give each other strength.
Please keep all of us in your prayers, Mataji. Whole Bhakti Sangha, we want your blessing. Please, Mataji. We really love you, our mother. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much.
Mataji ki jai ho. So nice.
Mataji, there are some comments. Beautiful class with profound realizations. Thank you so much, Mataji. Prithivirasni Mataji is saying so. And even Jyoti Mataji. And any other questions? I see there is one more new message. Eternally grateful for your association, Jyoti Mataji is just saying.
Well, Sadhvi Mataji was so wonderful. Yeah. Both of them are really great.
I'm sorry, so, I missed your talk, Sadhvi. I'm so unfortunate. Hare Krishna.
Mataji, you're
Krishna not, just saved you. Krishna just saved you, that's all.
I'm clicking on the space at the top so I can see some of the names of the devotees who are here.
Jai.
Jyoti Mataji, the question, Mataji, please go ahead and unmute yourself, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Dhanwad Pranam, Mataji. Mataji, I don't have a question. I just wanted to make one request. The request is that we missed her her association, her teachings or her class means because of the voice. If it is, if the time is there, then
please
ask her for 2-3 realizations what she had, because I missed the part when she when she spoke about she met Srila Prabhupada. From there, it was like really I couldn't understand any of it.
We could not get it. Please repeat, Mataji. Please repeat for us, Mataji. Mali Mataji. We beg you.
Okay. First of all, my name is Palini with a P. P-H. It comes from the root word phala, which means fruit.
Oh, Palini. Okay.
So Palini means one who bears the fruit of love of God. It's
yes.
It's found in Vidugda Madhava of Srila Rupa Goswami.
Yes.
A description of Srimati Radharani. So, can you hear me now, Jyoti?
Yeah.
Yes, Mataji. I can hear you very well.
Okay. So, when Srila Prabhupada first came to Los Angeles, it was November 29th, 1973, I had just joined the temple. I have to be careful to make sure that I don't go too long because I have a phone call I need to make. When Srila Prabhupada came, I was brand new and I didn't know anything. But I had read the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. I had obtained that book from a devotee in the Denver airport. Denver, Colorado was where I first met and saw the devotees. But I had a little tiny boy. He was 2 years old. Because I was a hippie. I had gotten pregnant in college and I had kept my baby. So I was raising him on my own. So I joined the temple in Los Angeles because there were children there. So when I first came, Srila Prabhupada came into the temple room and I was surprised when I saw him because he was only 5'3" tall. He was shorter than me. And I had expected that for someone who could write such a fantastic book as Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, that person must be very big. So I was expecting to see a very tall, muscular man. But when he walked through the door, I was a little surprised, but then I quickly noticed how he was carrying himself with such dignity and such majesty that he was like an emperor. So Srila Prabhupada was an amazing person. And after we paid obeisances, and we sat up, we were all looking at Srila Prabhupada, and I noticed his eyes. His eyes were the most noticeable thing about him for me, because they were so beautiful. They were wet and deep, and I never saw tears coming down, but his eyes looked always as if he were going to cry. They were always wet. And he was just so beautiful. And as he looked around at all the devotees, he looked in everyone's eyes and everyone felt a heart connection with Srila Prabhupada. He also looked at my friend Shati Devi and he said to her, "Is everything all right?" And Shati, who had been having a lot of troubles in her marriage, she looked up at Prabhupada and she felt immediate relief from all the anxiety that she had felt in her heart. And she said, "Yes, Srila Prabhupada, everything is all right." So Srila Prabhupada had that effect that he was able to drive away all inauspiciousness from within our hearts and fill our hearts with ecstasy. When Prabhupada would come, he would be so irresistibly beautiful and effulgent that we could not keep our bodies on the floor. We would immediately start jumping and dancing and singing and calling out, Hari Bol, Jai Srila Prabhupada. So we just were filled with emotion. And I don't remember everything that I said. I told about how Srila Prabhupada would walk up to the deities and he would touch his danda on the floor, and then he would bow down and pay full dandavats with his bead bag on his neck, and it would be squashed between his body and the floor. So I was always, I took special note of that, how the bead bag was the protection itself. It was the protection for the japa beads. And Prabhupada would pay obeisances like that at all three altars, and then he would come up and sit on his vyasasan, and he would start singing Jai Radha Madhava. Then, of course, we would all sing along, and it was so, so lovely. And then after he would finish, then he would say the Prema Dwani prayers. Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahansa Pariradhikacharya Stotra Satyashri Srimad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. And after he finished all the Prema Dwani prayers, then he would say, thank you very much. Jai. He would always say that. And I didn't know why he would say that, but I felt like he was thanking us for being with him, for being his disciples, and for trying to be devotees. So that to me is a very sweet memory, remembering how Srila Prabhupada always finished Jai Radha Madhava and the Prema Dwani prayers with thank you very much. He had a deep voice.
Yes.
Now, before Prabhupada would come in, every morning he would go for a walk if his health was good enough. And Srila Prabhupada's quarters were upstairs on what we call the second floor in America. In India, it would be the first floor. So every morning he would come down while it was just getting light outside, and he would walk down the stairs to the bottom of the stairs on the landing, and then he would walk out the door and down some more stairs and into his car. So when he came down the stairs, there were a few devotees who were very lucky to be there right outside the door, and we would pay obeisances and we would give Prabhupada a flower or some fruit or some little gift. And Prabhupada was so gracious. He always graciously accepted our humble little gifts. And then when he would climb in the car, he was very graceful. Everything he did was perfectly graceful. No one I have ever seen was as graceful as Srila Prabhupada.
Yes.
He was like a dancer. He was so graceful. So when he would climb in the car, he would pranam to all of us with his beautiful big eyes looking in each of our eyes, and then the car would drive off. So those were very, very sweet experiences for me as a new devotee. And I found out later on, many years later, after I got married to Sriman Haripad Das, that he was one of the devotees out there. I didn't know him at that time. But he was one of those nectar hounds who used to wait for Srila Prabhupada outside his door and greet him in the early morning. So we were both out there. And did I tell the story about the neck beads yet?
No, Mataji, please.
Okay. So one day, after Prabhupada came, the first time, not the first time he ever came to L.A., but the first time when I was there and my husband was there. We didn't know each other, but one devotee came up to me and he was holding a dish. And I looked in the dish. I was wondering what was going on. It was a dish full of beads and they were wooden beads. And I didn't know what Tulsi was yet because I was so new. But there were also some little purplish red beads in there too. So he said to me, Mataji, would you be able to restring Srila Prabhupada's neck beads for him?
Yeah.
And I did not know what that meant. I was not at all able to understand what he was asking me to do. But I found out much later, after 1981, I found out that he also approached another devotee who was also a hippie, who was there for the first time. And his name was Haas. And he later became known as Haripad Das.
Yeah.
He approached this hippie and he said, would you be willing to restring Srila Prabhupada's neck beads? And that guy took on the challenge because he was a jeweler by trade. Yeah. He used to make jewelry for celebrities. Yeah. He had his own business. He was only 23 years old. He had his own business. He owned his own home. And so when he saw that, it was not a problem for him. He took those beads and he strung those beads together so nicely and returned them. And so he got that special privilege of restringing Srila Prabhupada's neck beads with rubies.
Very bold. Super much.
So, let's see.
Wonderful.
Did you hear? Should I keep going or what?
Yes, please.
One more.
Okay, one more. All right.
Yeah.
Did you hear the story about Srila Prabhupada in Mayapur in 1977?
No.
Okay. So my husband got to go to Mayapur in February of 1977, and Srila Prabhupada was there. So Prabhupada was not feeling so well, but he was still able to come down and give class. And one morning, he was used to coming down for Darshanarti. So Prabhupada was there and he would circumambulate Radha Madhava. And when he got around to the to Radharani's side of the altar, he would ring the bell. And then this one morning, he came out in front of Radha Madhava and he stopped. and he started dancing with his arms raised. And my husband and a few other devotees were standing in front of Prabhupada as he was walking. They were walking backwards behind, in front of Prabhupada. And so because they were in front of him, so they were in front of him when he started dancing. They were like to the left. And all the other devotees were coming around and they saw Prabhupada dancing and everyone started screaming and jumping. And my husband said that Prabhupada started to emit a golden effulgence like a sun, like a shining sun. And we don't know how many devotees saw that, but we do know three devotees who saw that. My husband saw it, and Vatsal Prabhu saw it, and also Mother Socharya saw it. So they saw Srila Prabhupada emitting a golden sunshine effulgence out in front of Radha Madhava. So he used to tell that story before he passed away. He used to tell that story anytime anybody wanted to know about his experiences with Srila Prabhupada, he would always tell about that. So, okay. So that was kind of, that was some of the stuff I told before when the sound was not working.
Yeah, sorry, thank you. That. Thank you so, so much, Mataji. So wonderful memories and so nice reflections of those. Thank you so much, Mataji. I think I know it went so much over time also. Thank you so much. Please accept me. Humble business, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. We are so grateful to have your association, Mataji. We would like you to come back again and nectarian reflections, please share with us, Mataji. I think with your permission, I would like to close the call and pay our obeisances. Vancha kalpataru bhyascha kripa sevate atitanam pavanesho vaishnavebhyo namo namo namaha. Anantakoti vaishnava ki jai. Har grace Falini Mata Devi Falini Devi Das Mata ji ki jai. Har grace Sadhvi Mata ji ki jai. Hari bol. Hey, Srila Prabhupada. Hari Bol. Go!